This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All right, Manny. Alcantara or Alcantara?
Sandy, you talking about?
Yeah. I don't know how we pronounce it, but are we really pronouncing it the right way? Or did he just let it go and Americanize it like I did?
I think a lot of us do that, right? I mean, don't we just kind of Americanize our names? Don't we? I mean, that's kind of what the way it's done.
Because the Alcantara is not how it's spelled.
No.
It's Alcantara.
Correct.
So what is the pronunciation? The real, like, really, mine is not Alzigari.
Alcantara.
I Americanized it to make it easy for people because they struggle so much with my name. But Alzigari makes it nice and simple.
Right.
I take out that A, and so did Alcantara.
Alcantara. That's the way you say it in Spanish, right? I mean, that's the real pronunciation. Alcantara.
Right, because you're pronouncing the A.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go into the locker rooms anymore. I need to go into the damn locker room. I need to go find out myself and go ask Sandy, oye, Chico, you know, and explain to him, listen, my name's Alzigari and it's Ashuarai, you know, but hey,
right.
You know,
right, you know, right.
Did you do the same thing? And then I'm just wondering, bro, you know what I mean? It just...
Yeah, I think it's just something we always do, right? We just automatically adapt it for the American pronunciation. So
I did when I was like in second grade, bro. Mm-hmm. Like second or third grade in Arbondale.
Right.
It was just one of those things where everybody was trying, I'm like, oh dude, this just let me simplify this as a kid so nobody can struggle with the damn name and just move on, you know. But yeah, every once in a while, I'll get some Latin person that's a little bothered by, oye, tu nombre es Ashuarai, okay? Porque yo veo que tú estás muy americanado, esto, lo otro, you know?
Yeah, that
kind of stuff, you know what I'm saying? So they'll correct me on that. So that's why the Sandy one, mm-hmm. you know, I always say Alcantara because it's like, you know, it looks to me like that's how it's really pronounced, but you know. So it is what it is, but anyway, all right. So what's new in the world of the Canes and I guess Mr. Ruiz and NILs?
Oh, that never ends, man. I mean, he's I think I told you a few weeks back here on the show that he was going to be flying out with some of these international kids, right? Lou Headley, for instance, going with him to Australia to film his commercial so that he could get paid. He's doing it with Akeem Mezidor right now, the Canadian defensive lineman who Miami got from West Virginia. They went with him back to Canada so they could film a commercial there and he could get paid. So that's what's going on with that. You know, the NIL deals never stop. I know he's on the internet making deals now with long snappers throughout the country, including Florida.
Florida kid, right? Florida
kid, right? He got the Gators kid to do it, mainly because the Gators I guess this is so, I mean, it's where we've gotten to in college football, where now everybody's boosters are going after each other on the internet, right? Like it's, we're going to challenge you. You're the one breaking the rule. Don't talk about my collective like that. And then Ruiz comes right back at him with his legalese and is like, dude, what are you talking about? I've been legal. I've been doing things the right way. It's very comical. If you follow this on Twitter, and not that I have to, but you know, Ruiz has become such a big deal now, right, with NIL that you have to see what he's up to, what he's announcing, who's he signing.
But he wastes no time to correct your ass.
Oh, and I talked to him. I talked to him last Friday after I came on your show about that. I said, man, what is it? I go, you really go after these guys
yes,
on the internet,
yes,
like you.
Yes.
You don't give a shit. You know, you're just going after whoever it is. And he's just like, you know, he's of the mind that, look, man, like all of these little conversations on the internet. You know, if you have to shoot some of them down, because if not, it sort of permeates, oh, this guy's opinion is, or what he's doing is wrong. And it's like, no, I want to correct you at the point. Like, you're going to come after me. I'm going to correct you. So
right.
He just enjoys doing that. I guess that's the lawyer in him, right? That's the lawyer in him to get into these war of words. But yeah, that's what's going on with him. You know, Miami swung and missed. They went after the Jalen Robinson kid from UCF in the transfer portal. They had him come and visit last week. But you know what? I mean, that's one of those deals where you're at, like I said, 82, 83 scholarships right now. You only have a couple of them left. Jalen Robinson wasn't going to come in and all of a sudden be your number one wide receiver. He's not as good as Charleston Rambo was last year when they got him. So he was a guy who would come in and be a piece in the rotation. And who knows? You know, guys can still get into the transfer portal that are graduates. If you're a graduate, if you graduated this spring and now you want to get into the transfer portal after the May 1st date, I think you still can. I think the rule allows you to still do that if you've graduated. It was for the one-time transfer rule that was May 1. So I think that, you know, we'll see if Miami adds any more receivers. They've got 8 guys on scholarship now. They had a few that moved in this past weekend, five additions from the that were set to arrive. There'll be a couple of other transfers and people who get in here, I think, in summer B. But come the fall, I mean, I feel like Mario has this roster in a good position. So, I think from that perspective, are they deep enough at a lot of positions? Yes. Do guys have to step up and prove themselves? Yes, absolutely.
Dude, what's this whole thing about ACC football schedule could work with no divisions and 3 annual opponents?
Yeah. So essentially what's happened with the ACC and with a lot of these other, conferences, they're all thinking about doing this now where, you know, you may not in the ACC, for instance, Miami and Wake Forest, I don't think have played each other since like 2009 or whatever it is, even though they're in the same conference. And so, you know, you basically have the way the ACC sets it up right now, you have 8 conference games. You play the six other teams in your division every year. And then you play the one, you know, sort of annual cross division rival, which for Miami is Florida State every year. Right. So that means you only have one other game that you rotate year to year to year against that other division. So you can go a decade before you play that, some other school that's in your conference. So the whole concept here is you go 3-5, which is basically 3 annual opponents, the three that you want to play every single year, no matter what. And then the other 5 conference games would rotate, which means you'd play everybody in the conference within 2 years. You play them twice in 4 years. So if you go to Miami, okay, you're going to play Clemson twice in your 4 years there. If you go to, wherever. So the point is to get everybody to play each other.
Right.
And to make it more of a conference feel, because what happened was in 2020 when we had COVID and you know everything was shut down and we went to that sort of one conference, we got rid of divisions, you almost had better football, right? It was more exciting from the perspective of, hey, the two best teams get to the conference finals. And that year Notre Dame happened to be in the conference, right? Because of what happened with COVID and the shutdown of cross-conference type games, you really didn't have that. So Notre Dame just played an ACC schedule, and you had 2 teams get to the semifinal from the ACC, you know, Notre Dame and Clemson. So I think the ACC sees this now as a possibility to get the 2 best teams in the championship game every single year instead of doing this division format where, let's face it, the Coastal Division has been pretty trash, right, for a long time now. You've had a bunch of different teams win the division and go there with 4 or 5 losses, go to the conference championship game, and that hurts a team like Clemson when they don't get to play, you know, another team that has, you know, 1 or 2 losses in the conference championship to help them get into the playoff, so to speak. So I think that's the overall vision with this.
All right. Don't forget, folks, you can go to Caneswear, and you can go online anywhere in the country, and you can order there. Everything over $99, you get free shipping, and they ship it out quickly. So you want something for the Heat playoffs or the Panther playoffs? They're going to be in the playoffs for hopefully for a couple weeks. Well, you can order something right now and get it in a couple days, man. So you can sport your favorite hat, shirt, all of that. Go to caneswear.com. Free shipping over $99. Make sure you tell them that Big O sent you. 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Tell me a little bit about Jackson Howard. Who is this kid?
Yeah, I met him at the spring game in the middle of April. He was down here, a kid out of Minnesota. His father played for Stanford defensive, and he ended up being a second round pick, I think, of the Vikings. Got hurt, didn't have much of a pro career because of injuries, but his father was an excellent player, and he's one of the top, you know, recruits in the country out of, like I said, out of the Minnesota area. Came down, visited Miami twice, I think, unofficially. Absolutely loves it, and now he's going to be, you know, taking an official visit to Miami. I think his last official visit this summer. And he's, you know, he's an elite kid and play both tight end and defensive end. I think Miami's recruiting him to play both sides. And
so ultimately, wait a minute. Now, what kind of tight end is he? Is he a blocking type of tight end, or is
he? Actually... He can catch. He can produce. He's going to probably play quarterback his senior year in high school because he's an athlete. He's a hell of an athlete. He's a big.
Holy shit! This guy's a quarterback, a defensive end, and a tight end.
He's kind of like a Tim Tebow type, right? I mean, reality was Tim.
No, he's Shohei Ohtani, bro. Holy crap! He's... If he can do that, he's better than Tim Tebow. He's Shohei Ohtani, man.
Well, listen.
He's also going to sack your ass too at the same time. Are you kidding me?
He could. He could play both sides of the line.
Sean DeFloya probably hates him. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's just wrong.
So I mean, the kid's talented, and he likes Miami a whole lot. I think the Canes are in good shape. You know, to get him. But yeah, that's who Jackson Howard is. There's a lot of recruits that Miami is in on. A lot of kids that they're having conversations with. I just did a mailbag for The Athletic. I'm in the middle of writing it right now. But, you know, so many questions about recruiting and people so excited about recruiting and, oh, well, who are they going to get? Mario's here. And it's like, you know, you look at the number of transfers that are becoming part of recruiting classes now. Oh, I mean, the number just keeps going up year after year versus high school kids. They're taking more and more transfers.
The transfer is more important than the recruiting now.
Because they can impact right away, whereas these high school kids have to be developed. So to me, you know, I think the way that we viewed recruiting for the last few decades of, man, this kid, is he coming? Is he going to come to visit over the summer? How important is – all of that to me matters a whole lot less than it used to, because in the end, like, the elite kids are going to be the elite kids, right? You're going to compete for those guys no matter what. But the four-star, the lower four-star, the three-star, like, to me, that's going to be a scramble at the end, right? Hey, do we need a tight end in this class? Do we need a defensive end in this class? We're going to go after this kid. Do we need a linebacker in this class? We're going to, like, in other words, all of this summer shenanigans, right, where everybody's all excited over, oh, this kid's visiting, it's meaningless. It's meaningless to me because come November, come December, those kids are going to be looking at one thing and one thing only. Are those coaches still going to be on staff there? Those guys who have been recruiting me for months, are they still going to be on staff when I get there in January or when I get there in May? That's what matters to them. So I think we can jump through hoops and get all excited about these high school kids, but you're basically doing it for nothing. And I'm sitting here, I've been doing all the research. The number of decommitments have gone up year after year after year. Transfers have gone up. The number of kids who flip commitments has gone up. So all of this decision-making in the summer, so long in front of National Signing Day, again, if you're the kind of person who lives and dies on this stuff, I would recommend taking 2 chill pills and waiting till November, December to really care about it.
Manny, let me ask you something, because I was thinking about this, and there's got to be a little bit of an interesting twist to this, and the way they've got to approach it's got to be a little different. And so we look at John Ruiz, the gentleman from American Top Training. What's his name? That he also gave.
Oh, yes. Yes. God, I have so many different names in my head. And I looked up his number yesterday.
Dan Lambert.
Thank you for doing that, bro.
Dan Lambert.
I got too many names in my phone here. So go ahead.
No, I'm with you. And Dan, sorry to forget you, because you've done a hell of a job and obviously helping the program. Right. Okay. So, but other examples are Drew Rosenhausen, Malki Kawa, correct? They're doing their own NILs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, right. So, Lambert and Ruiz, they're biased. When they're sharing their money, they're sharing it for players that are going to wear the Canes colors. So now we have the agent side of it. When they're doing it, they've got to accommodate players who may not want to go to Miami, may want to go to Florida, may want to go to Florida State, may want to go to Alabama, may want to go somewhere else. So the dynamics of the NIL battle and how certain agents may not be benefiting the program the way Lambert and obviously Ruiz do. So how is that battle, and how much is that? I don't know how much of the competition is within those guys now, too. Now, does Ruiz and Lambert find themselves fighting against Mauchi and Drew because everybody has a different agenda? And we know where Lambert and Ruiz's agenda, whereas the agent only cares about the end game is the player, and where he ends up, it doesn't matter as long as the money ends up in his pocket.
Well, a couple things to note here. Number one, the majority of these agents are representing guys that are already in college. They're not representing the high school recruits.
Right, right. They've already decided the recruiting and where they're at and what they're doing.
So right off the bat, that's what kind of kills that sort of thought process of, okay, who are they? Who's
Oh, they're never the driving force in guiding anybody to any specific school out of high school.
Correct. Whereas the NIL guys like Ruiz and Lambert and some of these other guys, obviously their interest is Miami, right? It's helping them out. Although I will say Ruiz has signed guys now from Florida and FIU and other schools. So it's not like it's just Miami. So he's positioning himself in a way where if somebody comes to argue and say, hey, this isn't NIL, this is pay for play to go to Miami, well, he's got the argument now. Well, look, I got guys that are signed to Florida and guys that are signed with FIU. So from that perspective, he's
looking out for life wallet.
Yes,
it's a life wallet thing.
Exactly. I think the majority, and I've talked to a few of these guys. Okay, Malik Bryant works for Mauchi Kaua and first round management, and I had him on my podcast last month. You know, he's a guy who went to Florida State, but he's from Miami. He played at Miami Killian High School. He's one of the top high school recruits in the country. Went to Florida State, and we talked about his allegiances. To him, you know, as an agent now, it's all about making money off these kids, right? It really is what it is. So, you know, he represents a ton of Miami guys. He's trying to get some Florida State guys paid. They just don't have any NIL deals up there for those kind of kids. So,
Come on, bro. Whataburger. I always stop at Whataburger on my way to Mobile. Come on, Whataburger.
Yeah.
Step it up for the Seminoles. Come on.
Jeez. Yeah. So look, man, like with J.R. Bryant, for instance, I just think a lot of these guys, once you're past your playing days, yes, while he still loves Florida State, I think it's all business. Like, it's all about where is the money at? And right now the money's in Miami. And so that's why it's sort of pushing in that direction. I don't think there's many instances where these guys are directing kids to leave a school because you're not making NIL, you know, to go somewhere else. A lot of these kids, let's face it, though. I mean, a lot of the kids that John Ruiz has on the payroll, okay, for Life Wallet, I don't, like, I would say of the 120 kids or however many he has now on the payroll, I would say if those kids went to another school, maybe 10 of them are getting NIL deals. Like, a lot of them are just getting NIL deals because they're here, because they play for this team. They're not really marketable. They're not good enough to be marketable, in other places. So
all the players on all the sports outside of football and basketball are pretty much not marketable. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, come on. It's not going to work.
No. So, I mean, again, like that whole argument of, oh, they're going to push kids to certain schools. At this point, I don't think NIL has become that powerful throughout the country. Like, Miami's a market that you're going to be able to make money if you play for the Hurricanes or you play for even FIU, right? You'll have a couple of kids who can make NIL off of that. But across the country, I mean, it's pretty much the elite power schools, the elite power five schools that have always had the funding, that have always paid for athletes. Those are the ones that are doing this business and getting players to come to their schools. So that's my response to that.
If you want anything and everything with a UM logo, go to Canesware, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. It will freak you out. They literally have everything with a Canes logo. You'll love it out there. All right, what are you working on at The Athletic, my friend, so folks can check you out?
Yeah, well, we just launched our coaching carousel series on Monday, kicked it off with the way the dominoes sort of fall in college football, right? 29 head coaching changes in the offseason. And of course, I'm writing about Mario Cristobal. Bruce Feldman and I are tag teaming on a Miami story. Really, you know, I wrote so much about Mario, how they got him here, how he was plan A and not, you know, basically plan B was Manny Diaz. If they weren't going to get Mario, That was it. They were going to have to go back to Manny Diaz. Would UMB in the same situation they are in now with NIL and all that other stuff? No. Let's face it. Like, the fact is, the fact that Mario's here, Miami's in a much better situation with being able to hire great assistants and hire players through NIL, right? I think those things don't exist in the capacity they do right now if Mario's not here. So our story will also, you know, Bruce talked with Mario yesterday, I think, for over an hour about his interview process, you know, hiring these assistant coaches and all that kind of stuff. So that story should be coming out soon. I want to say this afternoon, but I'm not 100% sure. It might be tomorrow. Bruce was writing his section. I was done with mine. I interviewed Miami's administration and Rudy Fernandez and all those guys, and I had my side of the story done. He was handling the coaching hires, the assistants, etc. So that'll be out soon. That'll be a good read. A lot of good stories to read in the Coaching Carousel series that we're putting out. And then I have my own stuff. I have that mailbag that I'll put out soon. I have a Ruiz sort of profile I'm working on as well. A lot to read on the website. Again, don't just read for the Canes coverage. Read it for everything that we do college football-wise, because we have a great staff.
No doubt about it. By the way, the Patriots have released De'Arik King.
Yeah. Well, expected. I mean, he's just not big enough. And if you
and he's not really athletic enough.
Right.
And let's just be quite honest. You know, if you're going to be an athlete at the next level, he was never that kind of athlete to be at the next level, dude.
And certainly not after those knee injuries and ACLs and stuff that he dealt with, where it slowed him down. I think he ran a 4.6. At the spring showcase, or the one that they did for the NFL with all the scouts that came in. You know, look, could De'Arik King play professionally in some level? Yeah, I think he could play in the USFL, right? He could play in the Canadian League, probably, you know, in a sort of gimmicky type role.
Canadian might be the wider field and all that. That might help him out over there in the Canadian League. That might be the kind of league. You know, the screwed up part is that you almost needed the injury in order for Tyler Van Dyke to kind of get the opportunity that he was able to showcase his skills.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot. Today I was looking at music history, and on this day back in 1990, I believe, Nirvana's drummer left and Dave Grohl stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't find out about Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters if Kurt Cobain doesn't kill himself.
Right.
Because if Nirvana's still Nirvana, maybe Dave Grohl doesn't open up his wings and spread it out and become himself. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy how things happen, that the De'Arik King thing led to the Tyler Van Dyke rise. You know what I mean? And you feel for De'Arik, man, because he's everything that's right about sports, period.
I think
about competition, about being a teammate, about being, you know, everything. He's everything that's good about sports. You know what I'm saying? And that's just,
absolutely.
You just want good things to happen to people like De'Arik King.
Yeah, and I think he'll be in coaching before long. I mean, look, people forget about this, but Ryan Williams, who was a backup quarterback at Miami, I think he might have started a game or two a decade ago. He was on that Georgia staff that just won a national championship. Malik Rozier, who I interviewed for my podcast, he was obviously the quarterback during Miami's only 10-win season in the last two decades. And you know, he's into private coaching now. I think a lot of these guys that have played the quarterback position at Miami in the last few years that haven't necessarily panned out in NFL terms, guys like Malik, guys like De'Arik and Ryan, I think they can be good coaches that sort of rise through the ranks, right? I mean, who had heard of Mark Richt before he started coaching at FSU as the OC over there, right? And then all of a sudden he rises through the ranks. Yes, he was at Miami briefly, but it wasn't a big time player at UM when he was quarterback here. So I think De'Arik's from that same pedigree. I could see him being a college football head coach one day.
Good stuff. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch his exceptional work there at The Athletic. Manny, as always, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Good talking to you, brother. Take care.
You got it. Be good. There you go. Manny Navarro in our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report. Got it. There he is. The man that keeps up with all the NILs in Saban's world. Manny Navarro. What'd you think of that, man? What'd you think of Saban going off? I thought that was so pathetic in so many different ways, and Jimbo Fisher ended up just like painting the perfect picture when it was all said and done.
It was really amazing to see two guys that, you know, basically own college football, right? Because they've got all this money that they've spent on recruits for years. And Jimbo, of course, you know, he did it at Florida State. He's doing it now at Texas A&M. And Nick's done it for years at Alabama, right? They basically have control of the thing. And they're coming out pointing fingers at each other. It's just stupid. Like, you know, you've been winning all this time. You're getting all these great players to come to your school. Why are you talking about this publicly?
So let me ask you something. Not that you'll probably tell us, but I would imagine that the editors at The Athletic said, boys and ladies, have at it, because there'll be a lot of people talking. I mean,
yeah.
Nick Saban just opened up just a shit can of worms for his program now, mm-hmm. because there's going to be a lot of people that have worked for him that are going to be more than willing to talk just to shut up his arrogant ass now, because that was the ultimate level of arrogance. That not only were you, you know, you're like Nico Toscani, which is Steven Seagal above the law.
Right.
If you remember that line, you think you're Nico Toscani, that you're above the law, that you can actually trash everybody and that there's not going to be any repercussions, when everybody knows, you know, some of those people that you're trashing, they know you're dirty laundry, dude. How stupid can you be?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who know where the bodies are buried. And, you know, the hardest thing is reporters. And we talked about this in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago when we had our meeting there for The Athletic for a couple of days. It's how hard it is as a reporter to report these stories, because if you don't have receipts for all of this stuff, right, if you don't have text messages, or you don't have people who are spurned in this whole thing that want to kind of go after
it.
Yeah, corroborate it. You can't report it. It's just hearsay. It's been what it's been for, you know, a long time now, where people have talked about it since back in the SMU days, right?
With listen, back in the 80s, like,
yeah,
I know a bunch of the stuff that went on with some of the UM players back in the days.
Right.
I mean, I was joking around with Omar that Michael Irvin was driving around a brand new 300 ZX, bro, back in those days. I mean, give me a break, dude. God.
This has been going on forever. And now NIL has just made it, you know, you're allowed to talk about it now because of NIL, right? Before it was forbidden topic. But now everybody is trying to please it. I just find it comical because both of those guys, I mean, they finished number one and two. Why are the two guys fighting? The guys that are the number one and two recruiting classes, right? They can get any player they want. Why are they?
Well, number one wasn't fighting, and number one was thrown into the fight, right?
Right. But okay. I mean, but I mean, this whole thing of firing back. Like, if I was Jimbo, I would have just turned around and said, "Yeah, we have NIL now. We know what we're doing. We're the best at it."
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but no, you can't. If you're Jimbo, you can't do that, bro. He trashed your program. He kind of basically called you cheaters.
Well, he called a lot of people cheaters. He called Ruiz a cheater.
Exactly. But what I'm saying, but Ruiz is not a coach, whereas this guy, like, worked for you. Like, what are you, crazy, bro? Are you, like, he knows a bunch of stuff that you did. Like, what's wrong with you? So that's where I'm going to be interested to see. And Jimbo can't be one of the guys can talk, because he then will hurt himself in the process.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But something's going to come from this, because – Your business specifically, your bosses, The Athletic, you guys are one of the leaders when it comes to college football coverage. And when it comes to investigative coverage, oh, Lordy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it's not you guys, then I'm expecting Charles Robinson to be, you know.
Right. There's a lot of good.
Charles to find out if they're going to sick him on them, because, you know, when Charles gets on it, then you're screwed too.
You got to remember, too, again, I'm not talking specifically about any reporters in general, but some of these guys who have been so close to these stories, right, and getting tipped off that this player's transferring here or this player's going there, they can't exactly burn bridges either. These people are their sources for a lot of information.
Right.
You know, coaching changes, coaches being fired. They're the people in the know. It's just like the NFL, right? You can't exactly – a lot of NFL reporters can't exactly expose – some of the people that they get their information from. They'd be brains. Right. That's where all this in bed with each other deal makes things convoluted. Well,
that's why it has to come from a Charles Robinson who doesn't normally cover the college
football
and has no ties and doesn't give a shit if he pisses somebody off. But you're right. You know, there are certain college writers that probably, like Andy Staples, it doesn't benefit him to try to, you know, write this story because he needs everybody that he deals with every single day. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense, but it has to be an investigative report. What was the name of the ESPN guy? TJ something. What was his name that they always brought him out like a bulldog for all kinds?
There's a lot of people who just do investigative type.
Yeah.
Stuff.
That's I mean, who's that guy or woman for you guys?
Well, we all work in conjunction to be honest with our editors and our staff, and a lot of people hear stuff and then we call each other and tell each other, hey, this is what's going on. But we don't have one person in particular. Chris Kamrani, who's a very good young writer, he was covering Utah before. He's one of our national guys now that I think would tackle something like this. So, but again, you need a smoking gun. You need some proof. And if you don't have that, then you just have hearsay, then you can't really write anything because then you're going to get sued over it. So, look, the bigger question here is when do things change, right? Like, how does this? Is this just going to continue to be this way? And the NCAA just did something crazy. They allowed teams to not have to worry about the 25 initial counters now. So think about the roster turnover and the amount of player buying that's going to take place over the next 2 years. So when all of these coaches who have NIL budgets can look at their roster and say, you know what? We need 40 new guys, not 25.
Right.
Okay. And it's what's coming up. And I told you the tampering thing. I told you this months ago, right? Tampering, the whole thing with Jordan Addison and who was tampering with him, who's tampering with other kids to try to get them. That is going to be the story in college football in the weeks and months ahead, because now that we have this sort of free for all system based on kids being able to make money, it's really going to take off. And the fact that you don't have any scholarship limits other than the 85 for the next 2 years, you're going to see a lot of roster turnover throughout college football.
Ruiz ended up retweeting something about Saban.
Yeah, he tried to partner with Deion because Saban also took a shot at Deion because of he said that Travis Hunter, the number one recruit in the country last year, who was supposed to go to Florida State and then flip to Jackson State on signing day, went there because he got $1 million, right?
Right. Well, Saban stated in his speech that Miami Life Wallet paid a player $400K a year, but that's not true. NIL. Saban's statement contained admissions that he and the school involved themselves in the players' NIL deals. So Ruiz writes, wow, clear NCAA violation, because the schools cannot involve themselves in any of the NIL deals.
Actually. That's really the issue here, though, is the schools have to be involved. Like this whole notion that, you know, we're not going to involve, like, think about it. You think Ruiz is going to go and pay somebody or talk to them about NIL if Miami coaches don't want them in the program? Right. Like, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So at some point here, college football is just going to have to go to the pro system and just have general managers that work with these boosters who raise the money, whether it's a collective or a guy like John Ruiz, who's a businessman, and say, listen, these are the guys that we want on our team. These are the guys that we want to pay. These are the guys that are going to play big roles. And that's the way you're going to have to do it. It's just going to have to grow up and be a legitimate pay for play system. Until we get to that, you're going to have days like yesterday. You're going to continue to have coaches. And I know the SEC, Greg Sankey, you know, he kind of put out a message to all of his coaches not to talk about this. But, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, who's not going to continue to talk about this as we continue to come across these situations? I mean, think about how angry people are at Pittsburgh now they lost Jordan Addison, that he went into the transfer portal and left. You know, Biletnikoff Award winner. What's going to happen next year? Think about right now what – if Miami next year gets to this phase and they lose, I don't know, 10 starters that all of a sudden go to Alabama or go to Georgia or go somewhere, what you think Mario's going to stay quiet over that?
No, of course not.
So they just, it's kind of like at some point here, everybody just needs to grow up. Okay. Stop saying we don't pay for guys, because you do. okay, and just be honest about it. Be honest and just screw the system. It doesn't work anymore. It's antiquated. And you've been doing it the wrong way for a long time. Don't say we've been doing it the right way. That's not true. We've many teams have been doing it the wrong way for decades. And just accept the truth.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I get it. I totally understand. It's just and listen, I'm happy for the kids. I really am.
Those are the ones winning here. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because after everything, all they've been is trashed and used, and most of them were, you know, fooled thinking that they were going to go to the NFL anyways, when just over 1% of them may get to the league. You know, that was the funny thing about Saban. Oh, well, I was just told that our players have produced $1 billion in the NFL. Yeah, those that made the NFL, dude, the ones that didn't, you know, they're working in, you know, drive-thrus, and, you know, they didn't really take education seriously and all that. So I'm glad that these kids, if this kid wants to make money and go to USC and leave Pittsburgh, well then, hey man, so be it. For many years, administrators and coaches did whatever the hell they wanted, and these kids had no rights and no nothing. And let me tell you something. 20 years ago when I was doing talk radio, I was an idiot, because I would say, I was the moron that would say, well, no, they're getting paid, they're getting an education. You know, and I was stupid enough to use that as some kind of a tool and using it against the players for not taking advantage of it. When, what the hell, dude? Maybe they don't want to be a lawyer, or they don't want to be any, they want to be a football player, and that's it, dude. That's who they want to be. And, you know, you can't tell somebody what they want to be. And if they don't want to study, they don't want to study, dude. Plenty of people don't like school. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, some guys just want to play football or basketball or whatever. And all you want to do is show your football or basketball team on television and make money. So everybody's using everybody. So I'm glad that the players get their turn now to use whoever the hell they want to use.
Think about De'Aaron King, right? A year ago at this time, or not even a year ago, because they didn't even start July 1st. But he's the perfect example, right? Like, why come back for your sixth year or seventh year, however many years he was here in like forever. But he would not have made that money otherwise. We know it. He just got cut by the Patriots. Maybe he makes it in the Canadian Football League or some other league, right? But that's not the same kind of money that he was making last year as a Hurricane.
Right. God bless him, man. Take advantage of it, because all they've done is take advantage of you. They're just using you to make their TV money. And they're not sharing their TV money with you, and they don't care. So, yeah, it's sad. But, you know, everybody uses everybody, and I'm glad that the players at least have some kind of leverage now. All right, on the recruiting side, is there any new names, transfer portal-wise or whatever, that you might be looking at?
Well, I mean, we'll see in the transfer portal. I think, you know, again, I told you, I think they're two scholarships shy of the 85, so they can still add all the way up until – up until fall practice, really, when the fall semester starts. So with graduate transfers and whoever's in the portal right now. But, you know, now it's kind of, we've kind of turned our focus now to the high school recruiting, right? Because you have all these kids that are going to be on campus in June, starting, you know, with a quote unquote official visits. You have all these unofficial visits. They've just continued to rack up visits, you know, getting kids on campus. That's an important thing here in this whole process, because, you know, a lot of the elite kids, the top 200 to 250 kids, this is the way they do it now. Everybody takes their official visit during the summer, and that's when they, and then they, and then you, it's almost like you have to have them come back to come watch a game, or, you know, come back unofficially or whatever. And that's how you kind of stay in the race. I wrote this in my mailbag this week. Oh, to me, the high school recruiting, the importance of it because of the transfer portal and because of NIL is really, I mean, this time of year is just, to me, yes, you want them on campus, but outside of that, the race isn't finished until November, December, because right now so many college coaches are looking at their roster saying, well, who can we add from another college program, not a high school program, that could help us immediately at this position or that position? So to me, everything starts now with the transfer portal. And yes, they're still going to fight over the top 200, 250 kids every single year, because you're going to want those kids in your system. But the reality is, so many of those kids now, they're just leaving after a year or two. They'll sign with Alabama, right. They'll sign with Georgia, and they'll be a 4 or 5-star recruit. And then the next thing you know, 2 years later, they're in the transfer portal and they never played. Like Tyreek Stevenson's a perfect example. He played a little bit, but he wasn't happy with his role. what did he do? He came here to Miami where he knew he'd be the number one guy for 2 years and try to help his draft status. So the recruiting has obviously, the whole philosophy behind it has changed. Again, yes, pay attention to who visits, okay, among the high school kids, but don't really worry until November, December about who they're talking about, because it really doesn't matter. There's so much turnover roster year to year to year. You know, a guy that Miami might not be in the race for right now, maybe, you know, come November, December, like for the running back positions, for instance, right? We're talking about how overloaded they are at running back. They've got five guys. Well, what if Jalen Knighton has a great year and goes pro? What if Don Chaney says, I'm hitting the transfer portal? And you know, so all of a sudden now, a high school running back who may look at Miami's roster and say, oh, they got too many guys there, I'm not going to wait. Now all of a sudden there's two or three guys leaving and there's an opening for them. So that's what I'm saying. You can monitor this, but the reality is roster construction, as we knew it, is now like it's a scramble because staff changes, right? Kids aren't going to stick around. Hey, this position coach left to this program. So you can sit here and look at all these commitments and say, hey, Miami's got five commitments. They're ranked 31st in the team rankings and blah, blah, blah. Dude, the whole way we've looked at it for a long time is over because of the transfer portal.
Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. More importantly, please subscribe to The Athletic so you can support Manny and all the other great writers there locally, nationally, and internationally too, covering a little football also there for you. Manny, have a great weekend, my friend. We will catch up next week.
You too, brother. Have a good one.
You got it. There you go. The great Manny Navarro.